called the vicarious suffering of Christ, folks. His place took my, he took my place. That's vicarious suffering. Modern theology doesn't like that. Will you have your Bible? Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 2 with me this morning, please. And verse number 18. Revelation 2:18. The infallible Word of God. To the angel of the church at Thyatira write, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes likened to a flame of fire, his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornications, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill their children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the hearts, the reins, and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Father, I pray now that you'd bless your holy word as it goes forth. Anoint it, Heavenly Father, that the hearer may hear it, and it may fall upon good ground. In thy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Revelation starts off with seven churches and letters to the seven churches. And in particular, we have a church called Thyatira. And in particular, we have a prophetess who calls herself a prophetess whose name was Jezebel. Jezebel is as notorious in the Bible as Judas. I have never heard a young man named Judas, and I have never heard a young woman named Jezebel. And rightly so, because she represents everything in the Old Testament that is ungodly, that is wicked, and that is vile in the sight of God. Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, a Sidonian. She was the wife of Ahab. She caused him to come against the prophets of God and raise up the prophets of the grove, the prophets of Baal. Jezebel was a wicked, vile creature. If you know anything about the story of Naboth and what she did to Naboth and how they stoned him to take his property away, you'll see that she would stop at nothing to get what she wanted. Jezebel was motivated by the same spirit that motivates anyone who rejects Christ and is ungodly. She is motivated, animated by the spirit of hell itself. And in her case, it's a feminine spirit. It's the spirit of Jezebel. I want to preach you a message this morning about our current time, 2017. I prayed a message to the Lord the other day, and I said, "Lord, I said, I want you to help me, please, minister to my generation." That's right. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for God to give me the messages that I need to preach to the people that are alive right now here on this earth. Wonderful messages have been preached in the past by wonderful men of God, not taking anything away from these men. But a lot of times the message that they preached, say, 50, 75, 100 years ago was current for that generation and needed to be preached. But today we live in a different world. We live in a world today that is being dominated by a feminine spirit. Now, don't get mad at me this morning, but I'll preach the Bible to you. It is being dominated by a goddess spirit. And that goddess spirit has begun to move itself into the lives and the families of everybody in this country and throughout the world. It is not by accident that our families are being broken up. They're being destroyed. Children are paying a terrible price because they see a mother and a father separated. And a lot of times the children will blame themselves for the breakup of their home. Let me warn you, when you walk out that door, you walk out into a culture that is absolutely opposed to everything that God says in that Bible about the relationship of a man and a woman. Everything in the Bible that God has set forth in Scripture, defining the role of a man and defining the role of a woman and defining the role of a husband and defining the role of a wife, is antithetical to these people. The culture in 2017 is against Christ, against God, and against your marriage. So I want to talk this morning about the spirit of Jezebel. Now, we know that Dan Brown makes a lot of money writing books. And one of the books that he wrote is about the genealogy of Christ, so to speak. And he, in his book about the genealogy of Christ, he talks about the kings of Europe, and he talks about the dynasties of Europe, and he talks about how that the bloodline of Christ was supposed to be passed down through these people. And he says that there was a code that was passed from generation to generation so that they could identify themselves. Being able to identify themselves, it was not made open to the kings and the queens and so forth. And it was called the Da Vinci Code. He wrote his book, made millions of dollars on it, and now they've come out with a movie. And I don't know if the movie's hit the screens or not, but if it hasn't, it will soon. That is based upon that book about the Da Vinci Code. Here are some of the questions that Mr. Brown poses in his book. Is it true that the church hunted down and killed more than 5 million women over 3 centuries as part of a brutal re-education? Of course, he plants that into your mind by asking the question. Is it true that the church even today seeks to demonize and repress women? Is it true that Jesus was the original feminist? Now, once he's planted these questions into your mind, he builds upon this. And by the time he gets done with it, he'll have you so warped and twisted that when you open up the Bible, it will seem like a completely foreign book to everything that you possibly could understand. This is the kind of groundwork that is being laid. It is the groundwork of the goddess Gaia, witchcraft, Wiccan, and all of this other stuff that's out there in the ministry today all over the world and all over this country that people are getting on a regular basis when they go to the church house. Instead of getting the gospel of the grace of God, how that Christ went to the cross and died for your sins because you're a sinner, you're going to get everything in the world other than that. There is a church, a Lutheran Church of America, in San Francisco. Ever heard of that place? Entitled Her Church. Her church is sacred space for those who wish to worship at the cutting edge and outside of the traditional Christian framework. No doubt. It is an open and affirming community for those who want to be loved by Christ, Sophia, and the great mother of us all. Now, do I need to elaborate on what you can expect when you go in there? Here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that every kind of perversion there is affirmed. The word affirmed is a buzzword. When anybody says that their church affirms you, they are saying that regardless of who you are, what you are, how you live, you will be accepted completely and fully, and your lifestyle will be celebrated in that place. So where does that come from? It does not come from the Bible. It comes from the spirit of Jezebel. It comes by rejecting the Word of God. You say, "Now, preacher, is the Bible against women?" Oh, no, sirree. If you've ever read anything about history, if you know anything about cultures, if you understand anything about these people in this world, from one end of this globe to the other, you will find out that a woman, when she comes under the gospel of Christ and into the church of God, is given liberty that can be found nowhere else on this earth. My friend, think about this for a moment. It was a woman that God chose to bring His Son into this world. You said biologically it was necessary. I understand that for the incarnation. But it was still the seed of the woman. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15. It was the virgin daughter of Zion that God elevated to a place like this. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Believe me, the pagan culture of goddess worship that is associated with the fertility rites, where they have temples and temple prostitutes and all of the fertility that goes on there, it is there that a woman is reduced to the position of nothing more than a sacred whore. That's all she is. And that's exactly what the culture in this country is doing to womanhood. They're taking motherhood away. Motherhood is no longer the blessed thing that it used to be. There was a time when mothers were honored by their families, and their sons would fight you to the death for their mother. And rightfully so. But that now is passing away. Because that's not part of the new paradigm. It's not part of the new message. It's not part of the new spirit. Because the spirit today, now listen to me, is an androgynous spirit. It is a spirit where the male and the female are mixed and they both become one. Baphomet. And Shiva. Shiva representing the Hindu. Baphomet representing the Babylonian occultist. Through Aleister Crowley. Both of these gods, or whatever you want to call them, were both male and female. With Shiva, it depended upon his application. Where, when, whatever he was doing. But Shiva could be both male and female. Here we have male and female united into one God. Here we have the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is that they want to take the manhood away from the men, and they want to turn a woman into some kind of a goddess pervert that does not exist. This is destroying the very foundations of the homes today. Marriages are crumbling because the woman no longer knows her role and the man no longer knows his role. And we have all of these forces coming against the home. And of course the reason for this is because the globalists and the one worlders want to destroy the very fabric of your society. What holds you together? What makes you what you... The family, the home, is the bedrock of civilization built upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. If you can destroy the home, all you've got then is a jungle. That is exactly what they want. Because once you reduce it to that, you've taken the man's desire to defend anything away from him. And the man from that point on, has no wife, no children. What's to keep him in check? What's to keep him in bounds? The woman now has been stripped of her authority as a mother. And the mother in the home, and all of this fits right into the plan to destroy the very foundation of this country and the world. We are not headed there, we're there. And this movie that's coming in, and I pray you don't go see it, but I'll tell you right now, dear friend, this is the foundation, the basis of what I'm talking about. A survey done in 2007 said that upwards of 300,000 women in this country, right here, 300,000 women in America, this is 2007, considered themselves actively participating in goddess worship through various means. It depends on your culture. Satan has all kinds of avenues to get to the same place. Believe me, he can create whatever path you want to get you to where he wants you to be. Now that's 2007. This is 2017, 10 years later. Imagine how many we have now. It wouldn't surprise me if the figure would run well over 1 million. Now, I'm not talking about churches, folks. I'm talking about women in America who are worshiping the goddess. And many of these women go to church houses every Sunday, and they sit in that church house and have some reverend get up in front of them and preach some kind of a message, and they are worshiping the goddess. And a lot of what's coming out of the pulpits in America today is nothing in the world more than goddess worship. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ a man or a woman? Is he male or female? Every pronoun in that Bible, every time that God is mentioned, from Genesis to Revelation, He is mentioned in the masculine gender. It never fails. Not one single time. But this generation today, the one you're living in 2017, has called evil good and good evil. They've turned everything on its head. Everything is redefined today. Everything is different today. None of the old order, none of what we believed, none of what we were, has all been thrown out. Everything now has been re-examined and redefined. Amen? Everything is changing. We're not what we used to be, without question, none at all. It says here that they, over 400,000 of them, and they are empowered women, and they value their spirituality. And I think that's quite remarkable. Because the idea that the individual now can become so spiritual in this country. You talk to the average American and he says, oh yes, I am spiritual. He won't say spiritual, but he'll quote all of his spiritual sources. He'll talk about how he has a spiritual walk. He has a spiritual insight. He has a spiritual relationship. America is a country of cafeteria spirituality. They borrow what they want from the Wiccan. They get what he wants from the Hindu. He gets what he wants from the church. He gets what he wants over here. And he or she puts it all together like a big salad. And they eat at their spiritual trough. That's America. You better believe it. You better believe it. And when they go to the church house, they don't walk into a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And where the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. And where the gospel is supreme. And the Holy Ghost moves among people and convicts sinners of being sinners. And people walk the aisle and they get saved. That's all gone now. They come into their church house. And they pull a little bit here and a little bit there. They tap into this and they tap into that because they are master of their own spiritual development. That is narcissism. That is what's feeding people. That's how they think. What's a narcissist, preacher? A narcissist is somebody that sees everything that they deal with in this world as it applies to them. Because they are number one. And everything they do is for them. If something is said, it's for them. If something happens, it's for them. You ever heard of a selfie? We live in a generation today. If you ought to get on the internet, you ought to check this out. This will blow your mind. They've got pages on the web of people who photographed themselves right before they fell off of a cliff and died. They've got people who are photographing themselves right before they fell off of a building and died. We've got people photographing themselves before they take the plunge into a pool and walk right into a body of water or off of the side of the road. They are so engrossed with self, they have no idea that there's another world out there. It's about me. Myself, I, what can you do for me? I'm number one. I'm the end of all things. I'm the measure of everything. I am I. Satan said, I will, I will, I will. That's narcissism. And we live in a narcissistic society. And so the reverends get up in the pulpits and they feed that narcissism. And they make the people feel good about themselves. And they tell them how great they are. And they tell them how their potential is. Oh, they have such potential. All they need is to be able to learn to tap into that potential. And ad nauseum and on and on and on and on and on it goes. And nobody ever walks out of the church house anymore. And they say, Lord God Almighty, I'm so glad I'm saved. I've been saved. God forgave me of my sins. I didn't have anymore. Doesn't work like that. Have you been to church like that lately? That's the kind of stuff that's going on in America today. Now, we live in a goddess worship. Has strong sexual connotations. Very strong. I hope you'll follow me now. Strong sexual connotations. There was a poem written about sacred prostitution found in the Nag Hammadi library. What is that? That's the Gnostic text of the first century after Christ. Here's part of the poem. I was sent forth from the power, and I have come to those who reflect upon me. I have been found among those who seek after me. Look upon me, you who reflect upon me, and you hearers hear me. You who are waiting for me, take me to yourselves, and do not banish me from your sight. Now listen carefully. For I am the first and the last. I am the honored one and the scorned one. I am the whore and the holy one. How do you understand that? Let me explain it to you. How do you understand that? How do you understand a goddess or a spirit of a goddess or somebody who's worshiping the goddess saying that I am both? It works like this. You know what the yin-yang is, don't you? You understand the yin is male, the yang is female. You understand that? You understand that the two of them are completely opposing. One's black, one's white. They're in a circle, yet they complete the circle. You understand you can't have the whole without having both? Now you've got the thinking of the spirit that permeates this age. And that spirit is this. I am a cosmic citizen. I'm a global citizen. I pick and choose my spirituality. That's who I am. Therefore, I belong to this great spirit movement that's moving through the world. In order for me to be what I should be, I must have that good side. But I must also have that evil side. I must have both of them or I cannot balance myself out within the power that I live in. Understand what I'm saying now. This is why you can have people in the highest offices in this country flying down to an island called Lolita. And when they fly down to the island called Lolita, they're going down to a place where little children are being messed with. And yet here they're sitting in the highest offices. Sitting in the highest office, I'm the good one. But then I also am the evil one. Are you following me? Listen carefully to me. The elite that feeds you at the trough of the crowd that goes out and they lick the trough. The average American, all he cares about is his six-pack and his sex. You following me? How many of you believe that? They don't care anything about their soul. They don't care anything about their family. They don't care anything about their kids. The elitists that feed them, though, are very religious. How do you think they got to where they are? The Lord had Satan say to him, I give you the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. Just fall down and worship me. Satan has power. The only limit to the power of Satan is Christ, the Holy Spirit. Why do some rise so quickly? Why are some so wealthy so quickly? Why are some in such control so quickly? Could it be that they've made a league with the devil? They are very religious people, friend. Don't kid yourself. The one who steps out and says, I'm an atheist or an agnostic, is the fool of all fools. He's screaming into your ear, I don't belong to the elite. Because the elite are not atheists. They believe that. They're lovers of wickedness, lovers of evil, lovers of power. The only thing that matters to these people is power, money, influence, materialism, possessions, and they hate the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can always tell what crowd I belong to. I can always tell which crowd I am. I'll find a crowd that hates Christ. That's not my crowd. I'll find a crowd that loves Him. That's my crowd. I'm not looking for what they're hanging on their door. I'm not interested in what they call themselves. If they love my Lord Jesus Christ, they are my brother and my sister. Amen. So they're lovers of wickedness. They're child abusers. That answers one of the reasons why we answer the question, why do we have so many child abductions? Why so many children all of a sudden just snatched up and they're gone from their homes? The New Sentinel came out a few days ago, and I got a copy of it because I saw it in the store. And I saw the front page of the New Sentinel, all of the faces of the children that have come up missing, dead, just in Knoxville, Tennessee, cold case files. How many of you saw that paper? Good. Cold. What's cold case means? It means that they've gone as far as they can go with it. There's nothing else they can do. They don't know where these people are. They're gone. Now, I'm not saying all of them are child abductees of the elite and all of this and offer for satanic sacrifices, but I'm telling you this. Children come up missing all the time. Pray over your kids. Make sure you know who your kids are going out with. Make sure you know who they're staying all night with. Make sure your kids are safe when they go to school. Make sure the friends of your kids. Make sure you know who their friends are. Because you live in a very dangerous culture in America today. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, have you ever heard of the shack? Somebody said, well, I know all about the shack. That's why I was raised in. There was a book called The Shack. Now they've been made into a movie, The Shack. So what's The Shack about? Well, I won't get into all the details of the storyline, but it's got a lot of theology in it. And the theology in The Shack apparently is drawing people by droves, folks. They're going from the churches, and the preachers are standing up in the pulpit, and they're talking about how great The Shack is. And you need to go see The Shack. Well, I'm going to warn you right now, stay as far away from it as you can. Here's what they say in The Shack. The Shack. Here's The Shack. It denies the Trinity. Watch it. It makes God the Father into a female goddess. Now, you getting it together? It preaches universalism. What's that? That means that you're coming up this side of the mountain, you're coming up that side of the mountain, you're coming this way, you're coming that way. It makes no difference which way you come. You come through Buddha, you come through Hindu, Muhammad. Well, no matter where you come from, we're all going to the same place. That's universalism. It denies sin, guilt, and God's authority. Relativism replaces the truth. What's relativism? If it feels good? If this is what makes you happy? If you're strong, if you're firm in your foundational beliefs, your belief system. 50 years ago, I never heard the term belief system, but now everybody talks about it. What's belief system? That is a term that's meaningless. What it means is, okay, so you were raised as a fundamental Baptist, or you were raised as an ecumenicist, or you were raised as this, or you were raised as that. It makes a difference how you were raised. That's just your belief system. We all have enough commonality. We all have enough points of agreement where we can come together as one. That's relativism. That's relativism. That's a wicked thing. Worldliness replaces righteousness. The new gospel of peace with the world through oneness is replacing the original gospel of peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The new spirituality is replacing the true faith that comes from the Word of God. You remember what I said about the new spirituality? It's a cafeteria religion, a salad. Unity, seeking dialogue and spiritual experiences, all replacing the Word of God. Spiritual experiences. Somebody sent me a link the other day, and I was doing a little research, and they said, "Now, preacher, watch this." And so I watched it, and sometimes I get burned good when I do. I've got that kind of mind. But I watched it, and it was a Santeria follower, Santeria in South America. And he was sitting in a chair. And I've never seen anything quite like that in my life. The way he was reacting, kicking, and his eyes were moving. He was being possessed by a demon. And he wanted to be possessed by a demon. It was giving him something. And they were standing around. And you could feel the evil that was going on. And that's his spiritual experience. That's all part of the big picture. Maybe you go home and you read tarot cards. Maybe you go home and you have a Ouija board. Maybe you go home and you draw you a circle and get in the middle of it, you're a Wiccan. Maybe the difference what you are. That's part of the spiritual experience. You see what I mean? Everybody can have a spiritual experience. I get emails from people all the time. Folks, I get emails. I get emails. You wouldn't believe the emails I get. And God bless them. God bless them. I can't answer all of them. There's so many. Ask my secretary. There's no way. But I try my best to answer some that I feel like are the most important. One woman writes in and says, "Preacher, I feel like suicide. I can't take it anymore," she says. "I've had it. I just can't stand this anymore." Then she starts talking about the things that are appearing in her house. She talks about these spiritual experiences she's having, the wickedness, the evil that she feels moving about her. "It's everywhere," she says. You say, "Well, the preacher, she's just losing her mind." Well, now, you know, it's easy to jump onto pseudoscience and explain everything away. But I'm a little more particular with the Bible. First of all, I'll deal with it on a spiritual level instead of that. These people say this thing appears and it disappears. This thing crawled in bed with me. How many of you know what an incubus and a succubus is? If you don't know, go check it. I'm not going to get into it this morning from the pulpit. Incubus, succubus. Go look it up on Google. Check it out. It'll turn the hair up on your neck. It'll make you do some serious thinking about what's going on in your life. It'll make you look at yourself and say, "Lord, how many doors have I opened to that stuff? What am I doing? Maybe I'm watching the wrong stuff on TV. Maybe I'm reading the wrong stuff. Maybe my friends are the wrong friends." Check it out. You'd be amazed. You say, "Well, that's a modern phenomenon. Nothing modern about it, friend. It's been around a long time." The three friends of Job, when they showed up to counsel with Job, started talking about things that moved in the night and spiritual apparitions and phantoms and all of this stuff. They were talking to Job about that. See, I didn't get that. Go back and read the book of Job again. There it is, all through it. It's amazing at how this kind of stuff's going on. You know what they want to do? They want you to kill yourself. Spiritual experiences. I had a spiritual experience in 1973. I said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." When I raised up my head, I felt a load lift off my soul. I felt something come inside me, joy in me that was never in there before. I knew my sins had been forgiven. I knew I'd been saved. Yes, hallelujah. I had a spiritual experience on that back porch right up there. I got down on my knees, come back from the Holy Land. The devil tried to kill me in the Holy Land in the Valley of Kidron. He tried to kill me just like he did the other night. He tried to kill me. I came through that. I got on that back porch. I felt glory come down on me like I've never felt in my life. And he came back again. Then he started filling my soul with spiritual truths. Spiritual experiences. I've had them. I've been driven down to my knees where all I wanted to do is crawl underneath the pulpit or one of these pews. Just get so low, I wanted to get below the carpet. And I felt a glory in my soul like you can't explain. That was the Holy Ghost. That's a spiritual experience. But all spiritual experiences aren't good. There's some bad ones. There's some bad ones. I won't get into Kundalini yoga. I won't get into the coiled serpent. I won't get into all of that, the kind of experiences these people are having. It'll blow your mind. But let's stick to the goddess this morning. Spiritual experiences. The spirit of this age is feminine. The Bible said in Revelation chapter number 17, verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast." Now, do you know who that beast is in Revelation chapter 17? That's the Antichrist. And it's a woman sitting on that beast. Now, the shack is a horrible, horrible thing, folks. Stay away from it. This is a letter from a believer. I have heavily edited it to protect the believer. The believer says, "There's a spirit which I believe is the spirit of Jezebel, which I firmly believe is demonic and far stronger than we may estimate in our modern age. I also believe it is the same spirit behind the exponential rise of the same sex, sodomite, transgender, cross-dressing, feminist, and pro-choice communities, as well as the rising New Age, Gaian, Goddess, Mother Earth movements, and why we see God portrayed as a woman in the new film, The Shack. There are women who believe in the goddess, Gaia, Mother Earth spirituality. This is the goddess spirit, which is a man-hating spirit that detests God as he, him, and father." Some of you have seen this picture and some of you haven't. This photograph was taken, what was it, the day after the inauguration, I think. They had their protest in Washington, D.C. The day after the inauguration. All right? That's as big as I could blow it up because that's as big as my printer will print. But you're welcome to see it. So what does it say, preacher? It says, if Mary had had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess. Christ is blamed for this mess. That's what it says. And I would like for them to define the mess. Is Christ blamed for sin? What are they blaming him for? But anyway, you need to see the expression on their faces. They're mocking. This is pure, raw mockery. It's raw mockery. Little do these two understand that the Christ they're talking about died for both of them. And he died for all their sins, and he loves both of them. And he wants to save them. They don't understand that. They don't know that. They're blind. Not only that, but I am highly offended. I am so offended, you wouldn't believe how this offends me. I'm very offended. But nobody from CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, the rest of them has ever come to ask me how I feel about this. Have they asked you? So the idea of inclusiveness and the idea about offending people and all that only has to do with one side. Right? Right. Only one side. Nobody asks you about that. When you look at that, you will be offended too because I love him. I love Mary's little boy. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him with all of my heart and all of my soul. If I didn't have him, what in the world would I have if I didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ? What would I have? What would I have for my loved ones? What hope would I ever have of seeing any of my loved ones again? What hope would I ever have of knowing that my sins are forgiven and my life's been changed? And I know it has. But all of that would be gone if there was no Lord Jesus Christ. Just imagine a world without the Son of God. Imagine if you lived in a world today where you got all these religions out here. You got everything under the sun out here. But you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about confusion. When I read all that stuff out there and all of these occult religions and all of that, I find an anchor. An anchor for my soul. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. That's where I go back. That's where I park. That's where I tie my ship up. That's the anchor. That's what matters. That's where I count my life before Christ and after Christ. Two of me. The one that lived until 1973 and then the one that got saved in 1973. Two of me. Two of me. If you ever run up against somebody that knew the old Charles Lawson, knew the old Charles Lawson, and you tell them that, you know, he's preaching now. He's what? That's the reaction you're going to get. I'm serious. I wasn't neutral. I was a devil. Full of hell. Filthy mouthed. No inhibitions. No rules. No regulations. No fences. Nothing. That's what I was for 27 years. Till I met God. Till I met Him. And when I met Him, it all changed. And it stayed changed. And He grows sweeter by the day. This offends me like you would not believe. Now am I going to go hunt them down and blow them up? Am I going to go kill them? Am I going to get a camera and cut their heads off? Am I going to say that they've offended the prophet or they've done this or they've done it? No, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them. And I want you to pray for them also. These are two Cretans. C-R-E-T-I-N-T-A-N. I think it's C-R-E-T-C-R-I-T-E-N-T-I-N-T-A-N. I don't know what I do. Check it out. It's got to be one of them. And look it up on the web, and you'll find out what a Cretan is. It's associated with what Paul was talking about in Titus, chapter number 1. That's what they are. I have to confess to God. I got a terrible memory, but I'm going to have to confess. I haven't prayed for them. I need to. Because they are in bad shape. Anybody that mocks the Lord Jesus Christ, what has He ever done to you? What has He ever done to hurt you? You've never had a greater friend than the Son of God. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus. Bless His righteous name. Bless His holy, righteous name. That's the generation you live in, folks. And I just scratched the surface. It's a lot worse than what I said. A whole lot. Father, in Thy name we pray. I know Your word will not return void. I know it will accomplish that which You please. Father, I pray today that our Lord Jesus Christ, now of all things, will be exalted and I will be diminished. Lift up His blessed, righteous name. Father, I remind the people once again, I am nothing but a messenger. That's all I am. Christ is everything. Bless His name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.